You are lukewarm. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're going through the motions. You come to church sometimes. You're not on fire. You may be here because of social standing. I don't know. So people can see you sitting in your pew or your chair, your little place. I don't know. But you're not hot. You're not full of the passion you once were when you first came to me, when you received and were ignited by the seed, by the truth. You're not there anymore. You've grown. You've walked away, and you've become lukewarm. And Jesus said it this way. It's the same thing, Malachi 2:2, that God said, is that listen to me, receive what I'm saying, and choose to honor me or not. Jesus said it this way to the church of Laodicea, and I believe it's a word for the church all over the planet. You're not hot, and you're not cold. You're lukewarm, and I want to spit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather you were cold than lukewarm, just being a paper cutout of a Christian that doesn't represent who I am and what I've placed in you. He said, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in fire. That speaks of a training and discipling, teaching. That speaks of yielding ourselves to him to be refined. Our God is a consuming fire. He's not saying, I want to hurt you. He's saying, I want to purify. I want you to be everything that you can be. I want this Revelation 22, that city of God that lives within you. I want it to flow through you, and I want you to be passionate and hot about it. And everything that's depicted in that passage of Scripture has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with God flowing out of us.
Mm.
Not us, but him. Choose to honor me today. Buy of me gold refined in fire. Get hot. Get passionate about the king and the kingdom. Get moving. Get burning with the kingdom passion. It's time for the church to get off the fence and do something with what we've been given. He has given us everything. The kingdom, his lordship. He is everything in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's time for the church to do something with what we've been given. We often say we need a move of God. We had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been given. It's in us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to open the floodgates of heaven. That's why we're here, to allow it to flow through our lives. And we can take some time to pray right there.
Okay. We do have several prayer requests, but this first one I'm going to give to you, I want you to pray for it first. It's just of utmost importance. Susan Mabra has been sick every 45 minutes since 1 o'clock this morning, and they're headed to the ER at St. Anthony's to address the leaking from an incision of a recent surgery.
Okay.
She has this big incision over one ear, and they're very, very concerned about that.
Okay.
You can go ahead and pray for that, and then I'll give you these.
Okay. Lord, we lift Susan to you this morning, Father. God, we know who you are. We know who you are within us, Lord. We know who you've called us to be, the power and the keys that you have given us. Father God, we unleash, we release the flood of your rule and your kingdom and your will over Susan's life this morning. Lord, as we've been talking about the book of Malachi, you made a reference that about Jesus, that when he would ascend into heaven, that the sun would rise with healing on his wings, that it would be given to us. Lord, because of that resurrection and ascension into heaven, that you have become our Savior, you have bought and paid for us to have health and healing and wellness. We release that and speak that over Susan this morning in faith, and we give you praise and honor and glory that you are the God of our healing. You are the God of our provision. You're the God of our peace. Praise you for that in Susan's life this morning, in Jesus' name.
We want to pray for the family of Wanda Trammell Purcell. Her celebration of life service is today at 2 o'clock at the Elk City Main Street Baptist Church. And just a little footnote about Wanda. She was 92, and they had the Cheyenne Motel, she and her son. And she sat in that lobby or the office night in and night out, checking guests in and waiting for maybe someone to come in late. And was just, I just wondered, you know, Arthur, how are you going to replace Mama? You know, because she was just there. She was there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue to pray for Gaylord Roper, who's battling cancer. And then
I would ask you to.
Yeah, he had a pretty large tumor under one arm, and they've removed that, but he's got to go through some treatments. He's been going to MD Anderson in Houston, so anyway, he's going through those treatments.
Yeah.
And then I would ask you to pray for Kyle and Coda Bagsis. This is my grandson. They're traveling back to Quantico, Virginia, where he's stationed in the Marines, and they got to come home for a few days.
All right. So, Lord, we lift up the family of Wanda to you this morning. Lord, your word declares that you're close to those who are of a broken and contrite spirit. Father, we pray that you would just rush into them, cause your people, cause the gatekeepers of the kingdom, Lord, to rise up around them and allow the flow of your goodness and mercy and life through their lives into the lives of this family. Surround them, God. Give them peace and joy, comfort, knowing that everything's going to be okay in you. Lord, we lift Gaylord to you this morning, God, and just as we prayed earlier for Susan, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have risen and ascended into heaven with healing on your wings for your children. So we claim health and wellness for Gaylord. Lord, we pray that you would just give him stamina as he goes through these treatments. Lord, we pray, you know, the word doesn't give us any clear direction on how you would want to heal or do something. And we know that you can do it through modern medicine just as easy as you can do it through a spoken word or the snap of your finger or spitting in clay and making mud and wiping it in somebody's eyes. Lord, you do what you want, how you want, but we just know that you're going to do it. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Lord, pray for Kyle and Coda as they're traveling, that you would just dispatch angels to be round about them to keep them safe, let their hearts be filled with joy, let them be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory in their lives to reach the destination safely, Lord, to unite and be with family, Lord. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we do want to hear from some of our sponsors now. We do so appreciate Joshua's Crossing right here where we are. They have given us this room to use, and it's been such a pleasant place to have the hour of power. No racket of people running down the stairs hollering for somebody else down in the lower part of the radio station. And it's just peaceful, and there's a presence of God here, and we so appreciate the opportunity to use this facility. Prophetic Voice Ministries, 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, is one of our sponsors. They have Sunday school, 9:30 Sunday mornings, church at 11, and then again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. They also have a prayer service on Tuesday night, and then they have a church service on Thursday night at 7. And so Apostle Casey Elliott will bring you a good word. And our Facebook sponsor today, as I mentioned earlier, is Grant's Oxygen Realty. And we appreciate each one of our sponsors. And so let's listen to some of our additional sponsors now.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grant's Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grant's Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grant's Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grant's Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
New year, new ride. Right here at Bartrice & Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. For the next 2 weeks, take advantage of great incentives on Ford SUVs, like 0% for 60 months and customer bonus cash on the all-new 21 Ford Edge and Expedition. Plus, new units arriving daily. Come experience the Bartrice difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BartriceAndFord.net.
Edge SEL, stock number T16110, Expedition Stealth Edition, stock.
I'm just going to stop that commercial right there. We can't understand one word they're saying in that positioning statement or whatever that is they have to add. So we appreciate Barbara Dyson. They've been great sponsors also. Our guest this morning, Jason Wilhelm, bringing us a message on the gatekeepers of the kingdom. And Jason, you are pastor of a church. What's the name of your church?
Community Connection Fellowship.
And when are your church services?
We do services 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings. We're at 1424 South Simpson Street here in Elk City.
Wow, I don't even know where that is.
You know where the Lincoln Teen Center is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know where the old Grace Temple was?
Oh, yeah,
Ezra's old church?
Right.
Yeah, we're in that church, yeah.
Oh,
Ezra got us hooked up in there. We were meeting for some time out at the Canyon Conference Center, and God brought Ezra and I together on the topic, and it didn't take him long. If you know Ezra,
uh-huh.
It didn't take him long to find the answers.
That's right. Okay, well, let's get back into this. We don't want to miss any part of this great lesson you're bringing.
Okay, so we left off talking about that we're the gatekeepers of the kingdom, and so we're in the portion of it. What do we need to do about it? So then God said in Malachi, listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name. Jesus talked to the church in Laodicea, saying, really echoing the same thing, you're lukewarm, you're not hot or cold, and I want you to get hot, I want you to burn with passion. So what do we need to do about opening these floodgates of our life to allow the kingdom to come through it? So just, I don't have them numbered here, but I've got a few things we'll just hit and talk about there. Number one, what do we need to do about releasing the opening the floodgates of our lives, of the kingdom? The kingdom is within us. It's inside of us, that picture of Revelation 22, 1 through 5. It resides in us. It's now. It's not just out there in the future. The everything of God lives within his children, and it's up to us to let the everything go. And before I say that, we've all heard this, but I just want to cover it. there's a principle. You had the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, and one receives and gives, and it's full of life and sustenance. It's full of everything. It's a picture of who we're supposed to be in God, receiving the seed, receiving his word, receiving his life, and letting that flow on from us to others. And then there's the Dead Sea, who only takes and never gives. It's stagnant and it's dead and it's nasty. That's what we don't want to be. We want to allow the everything of God to flow through us and to move out on the planet. So number one, we've been given the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. What's it mean to have a key? What do keys do? They unlock, they open. He said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. A yes on earth will be a yes in heaven, and a no on earth will be a no in heaven. So what are these keys? Now, we absolutely do not have enough time to cover what all the keys of the kingdom would be. And here's the thing. I have no clue what all of the keys of the kingdom are, but here's what I do know. The kingdom is everything, and we've been given that. So we have every key that could possibly be used, and we discover them on our journey in the Lord. But I'll just throw out a few, and there are many, many more, but I'm just going to throw out a few. Keys to the kingdom. Joy. Joy is a key to the kingdom. Joy has nothing to do with happiness. Oftentimes we equate joy and happiness to be the same thing. Happiness should be a result of our joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is this. The joy of the Lord is knowing completely, 100%, that God has got our lives in his hands, that no matter what comes along, it's going to be okay because he is the ruler of all things, the God of the cosmos. That is joy. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength, is what the word declares. It is a key of the kingdom. It's a key of life that we would have his joy to unlock the truth of who he is, and that no matter what's going on, we're going to be okay. Joy keeps away fright, anger, all of those things. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Prayer. Prayer is a key of the kingdom, something that Jesus had given us. Prayer changes everything. If you'll make prayer your habit, your lifestyle will become a lifestyle of miracles. It's a key of the kingdom. prayer is a key of the kingdom. Worship, it's a key of the kingdom. Worship brings in, ushers in the presence and power of God in our lives. It keeps us, it causes devotion and our love to grow for who He is. And as my pastor would say, Andy Taylor, that worship is just it's the right response to who God is. It's a key of the kingdom. Godliness and everything that pertains to it, He's given that to us. It's a key of the kingdom. It changes our environment and it makes things work the way it's supposed to work. These keys are openers of the gates of heaven. Peace. Peace is a key of the kingdom. Patience is a key of the kingdom. Wisdom, on and on and on. All of the fruits of the Spirit are keys to the kingdom. All of these things that God has given us will change what's going on around us in our life. They're keys. They'll lock down the negative and they'll release the positive of the kingdom of God. So God has given us the keys of the kingdom. We ought to use them. Here's the truth. Here's the truth about the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are the reality of the King alive and on His throne within us. That's what the keys are. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we're to be able to use, to walk with, to know, and to release through our gates. And we open those gates by the keys of His kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth, we are the gatekeepers. We loose, we let come and go the things of the Lord on the planet. The keys, with the keys of the kingdom. I talked about prayer, but prayer is the second one on the list. Prayer is one of the most important things that God has given us. It is the conversation between His children and Himself. Prayer is a two-way street, not meant to just be a petitioning only of God, but to speak and to listen, to have relationship with God. And in the model prayer, Jesus told us this: pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. God, let Your rule, Your will, Your way, Your thoughts, Your everything, just like it is in heaven, let it happen here in me on earth. It's the picture of that Revelation 22 again. God, everything that You are, let it flow. And it is intended to be, God, let it come here first through me. It's personal between us and Him. Prayer. You know, I read a little deal the other day that that said this: pray so big daily that when you get to the gates of heaven, God's going to meet you there with a big smile on His face, throw His arm around you and look at you and say, "Child, You kept me very busy." We ought to live by that. Yeah. So then number three, relationship with God. The Word says that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us. God said, I will write My laws upon their heart. All of that stuff, all of the truth of what He spoke about what man needed to do is no longer an outward set of rules, but it is in us. It is God in us that's able to carry these things out. Relationship with God, just like the first gatekeeper had, Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. Everything he knew, everything that he learned, Adam never had a childhood. He was created as a grown man. And so everything that he knew, everything that he did, and everything, this is what he tended. This is what he took in and oversaw in his life, was the seed, the Word of God, the relationship that he had with his Father. That's all he knew, because God told him, had to teach him and tell him everything. That's what God wants with us. That's how the kingdom comes. It comes by us saying yes to His voice and allowing His seed and truth to flow through us in relationship with Him. And let's see, we're on 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, 4 is relationship with people. God designed us to be with people. There are synergies in numbers. God wants a family. That's what He's after. This picture of Revelation 22 is about the family of God basking in the presence and glow and provision of God forever and reigning with Him. That's what, it's not just a futuristic thing. It's for here and for now. And it's strategically why we call our church Community Connection. We want to build kingdom community and release that on the planet. Relationship with people. It is the treasure in earthen vessels that God has placed in us, and we're to give that away in our bonds with others. Remember the disciples who were mending their, or the ones who were mending their nets when Jesus called them to be disciples. We ought to be always at work mending our nets, strengthening our relationships so that we can catch all the fish in the sea. A house divided against itself won't stand, Jesus said. Relationships with one another, being in church and around each other, having fellowship and growing together. God says that one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. It's important that we have one another. We should cultivate our relationships. Number five, ministry. We all have a ministry before the Lord. We're training to reign in that Revelation 22 deal. God's training us to reign right now, not just then. We're to reign here in ministry. Every one of us have that living water, that river of life. If we've got Jesus, we've got Revelation 22 living inside of us, that river of life that should flow out of our hearts and bellies. You have a ministry. Figure out where you fit into that. Number six, the ministry field. It's the arena that you're in. Jesus said, lift your eyes and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. Wherever you're at, God has placed you there for a reason. Embrace it. Embrace it. You know, Paul said this, whatsoever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not to man. Doesn't matter where you're at. Be a gatekeeper of the kingdom and open those gates up, and you'll see the purposes of God begin to work in your life. The best way to find out who God has destined you to be is to become the person He's called you to be. Mm-hmm. Yielded and honoring Him will always lead you into destiny. That's, you have a field of ministry. Don't complain about your job or where you're at. God has you there for a reason at this time. And the Word says that if we'll commit our ways to the Lord, then He'll direct our paths. Just give it to Him. Yield this, Lord, this job is your job. It's and I'm here for you. I'm here to glorify. And you'll see God propel you through some of the most amazing things and on into better things than you could ever imagine. We all have an arena that we're in. Use it right where you're at to allow the floodgates of heaven to open and pour out everywhere. And lastly is honoring the Lord. Honoring the Lord. This was that Malachi 2:2 thing. It is the utmost importance that we be a people who honor the Lord. And if we're a people who are honoring the Lord, these other five things will be happening. They'll be taking place in our lives. To honor the Lord means this. It means to be a people of worship. Be a people who are yielded and giving and honoring to God. Be a people of praise. You know, the Word says this, that God is enthroned on the praises of His people. And just as we prayed earlier, you know, if you need to release one of these keys we talked about, here's how that can work in your life. You know, the Word says that one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh, means that the Lord will provide. If you're in a situation in life where you feel like that you're sunk, you have no way, and you need provision, begin to praise Him. God, You are the God of my provision, the one who would take care of me. You would give me everything I need. You said that if I would seek You, Your kingdom and Your righteousness first, that You'd take care of everything else. I commit to be a person who would honor You and seek You in all things. And I praise You right now that You are Jehovah Jireh, the God of my provision. Mm-hmm. When you begin to praise Him in that way, the Word declares that He is enthroned on that praise. He becomes the God of provision in the midst of that circumstance when we praise Him in faith for it. Be a person of praise. It's a key of the kingdom. It releases the glory and power of who God says that He is. Honoring the Lord means that we live a life of obedience. When God speaks something or moves on us, we would be obedient and yielded to it. That giving, that's honoring to the Lord. This treasure in earthen vessels that He's given us, the principle of the kingdom is this. When God gives you something, give it away. Mm-hmm. You can't outgive God. It's not just in our finances. It's in everything. It's in our peace and our joy. It's in His character and nature that's in us. It's His agape love to flow through us. Study the Word. Be a person who honors the Word. If we're studying the Word, we're getting the Word in us so that it will be released when we open those gates. And remember this, Jesus said this, and you see it all over the planet today. He was speaking of the scribes and Pharisees. This people honors me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Mm. He's saying today to the church, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire. Get hot, get burning with passion for the things of the kingdom. Jesus ultimately said in the last chapters of John that the key to our field of ministry, to opening the floodgates of heaven in our lives, is simply this. This is what he did. Hang out with the Father, then go out and show everyone who he is. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go out and preach the word to people, tell them they need to turn or burn, repent, get saved. What we need to do is show them the Father.
That's right.
The God of love, the God of agape, unconditional love. Jesus walked in an atmosphere of that agape. It resides in us. Our love falls short. It's inadequate. It's brotherly kindness. His love is agape, and the word says that his love, that love, agape, never fails. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've got to work that out through our lives. Open the floodgates of heaven. It's on us to tend, to keep, and to cultivate that relationship with the Lord. For out of that relationship will flow the river of living water through the gates of his people. That'll change the world around us. And, you know, I don't really have time. I was going to give a little testimony. I don't really have time to do that. But what I will say
is, we have all sorts of time.
We got all sorts of time. Right?
We're not bound by the next radio program that's
coming
on.
So we don't have God in a box here?
No, we do not. We love it.
Yeah. Well, I'll give a short testimony on this gate thing. So as in our church, we had been talking about the previous week, we were talking about that led up to this message, being ambassadors in Christ and having the ministry of reconciliation and those things. And this was the second part of that message. And so 2 weeks ago, and I told this last night, some of this, and I never carry cash. I don't carry cash anymore. I don't see a point. And, you know, it's too easy to just put the card in and move on. So I often get caught without cash in most situations. And besides all that, and this is a joke too, by the way, I'm really not trying to be too harsh, but it really is frustrating and drives me insane to watch some people try to figure out how to count back change anymore. It works on some of my keys I have a hard time with, but nevertheless, two weeks ago, I was going to make a specific purchase. So I went by the bank and I drew out a sum of cash. And it wasn't a tremendous amount of cash, but definitely more than what I normally would carry. And so, anyway, I did not, things happened through the course of the week. I never got to go and do that thing. So I have this cash in my wallet, not even thinking about it, because I normally don't carry cash. And so I got through this message on the ministry of reconciliation, and then the Lord began to start speaking to me about being the gatekeeper of the kingdom and allowing the kingdom to flow through you, and to let everything that I have be yielded to me, and everything, and let everything that I am and have in you, let it go forth. Be a good, faithful steward of the gate, and allow the commerce of the kingdom to happen in the lives around you. So, every day last week, and there might be a day that it didn't, but every day last week, God brought something across my path until all of that money was consumed. I'm not telling you this to make you think that I'm a good guy, or look at me, how that I can give. It's not that. What I'm saying is that it happened, what most people in the world would call by chance, that I just happened to have cash that I never carry. But in my mind, it was the Lord who had works prepared beforehand. And I, in the midst of this, saying, Lord, I yield to you to be a steward of the gates of the kingdom, to allow you to do. I'm seeking the opportunities of the kingdom and your righteousness every day, Lord. So every day there was an opportunity to give And it was so obvious that you could not get away from it. Mm-hmm. We've had opportunities through the, and the most tremendous blessing until all of that was gone. And so we've had the biggest blessings in all of that. I guarantee you a lot bigger than what the folks who received from mm-hmm. that came on us. That's what it looks like to be a steward of the kingdom. And as Christians, if we'll get in those six principles, we'll begin to understand that what we have is His anyway. And if we believe it's not His, you're in for a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. That was the other part of that, what God was saying. Today's the day that you should choose to honor me. And the other part was, if you don't, you're in for a rude awakening. That's mm-hmm. that's what he was getting at. God wants us to steward the gates of the kingdom, to allow the commerce of the kingdom to flow, to allow the currency of his agape love to flow through us. You can't outgive him. Mm-hmm. He's the one that supplied it in the first place. You can't outgive God. You know, in the story of the Good Samaritan, there were three guys that came along. Jesus was making this point to a Pharisee, a person of the law, a teacher of the law. This teacher, he had asked Jesus, you know, some questions, and Jesus answered him with a question every time. He's pretty sly.
Yes.
Pretty sly. So, you know, he had, first Jesus asked him, you know, he said, well, because the guy said, what do I got to do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, you're a reader, an interpreter of the law, and how do you read it? And he's, you know, Jesus, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, you know, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, yeah, that's how I read it. That's how I agree. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And so then the guy, he wants to prove a point, because in that time, in that day, in his social stature as a priest, he hung out with the people that he liked, that were like him, that had things in common, and he did not hang out with others. You know, they had often accused Jesus of hanging out with drunkards and sinners and prostitutes and all of this. And that. Remember what he told them? He said, hey, I didn't come for those of you who thought you were holier than thou and high and mighty. He said, I didn't come for the ones who didn't need a physician.